Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Passions and Possibilities Project. This is our weekly radio programming. I am Sue Oliver, and I am your host today, Wednesday, November 11th at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we get to host this show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as well as Fridays at 12:30 p.m. And during this weekly radio show, we get to interview bold, talented guests, folks who are going for it, really, really going for it. And our idea here is to inspire others who want to make their own leap but might be feeling a little scared, might be feeling a little discouraged, you know, especially during these tough economic times. And we decided to really focus not so much on rags-to-riches stories, but rather stories of ordinary folks like you and me who decided to stop playing small and start living really, really large. And our vision really is to take this project on the road to get the word out that absolutely anyone can experience and express their possibilities regardless of what's going on in their situation. And we're sharing this message in a variety of formats, including this radio show and other media, speaking engagements and coaching services. Simply put, we are here for those who want to live very, very large. And today we are so excited to have on our show a very, very passionate individual, Jordan Mallah, who is the founder of Steadfast Freedom Yoga and is a native New Yorker who has studied and taught yoga since 1996, both in the U.S. and internationally. And as a certified Anusara yoga teacher, his uplifting and inspiring teaching style is motivating and inspires students of all ages and levels to live fully from their heart and to celebrate life each day. And Jordan specializes in helping people heal their minds and their bodies by freeing themselves from the limitations of pain, drawing upon precise postural alignment and therapeutic biomechanics. And Jordan's myriad life experiences range from working as a corporate consultant with the global management consulting firm Accenture to volunteering with the Peace Corps in Peru, where his primary focus was helping indigenous Andean villagers curb their rate of malnutrition by creating sustainable community biointensive organic gardens. My goodness, he sure does have a lot of passions. So let's bring on Jordan and hear what his story is. Jordan,
greetings.
Are you there?
I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day and your yoga schedule to share your story. I am so grateful.
I am too. You know, it's a pleasure and an honor. Thank you for doing such wonderful work in the world as well.
Oh, that's what Passioneering is all about. I just love hearing stories of people making differences and making others' lives better. And you are definitely, and you have definitely been doing that and being that for quite a while. So much, much, much appreciation.
Thanks.
Great to share your story. Jordan, we start with the basic definition of passion on our shows, and I would love to hear, and I would love to share with our listeners what your definition of passion is.
My definition of passion would be, you know, for me, when I think about passion, I think about connecting to the deepest place of beauty within my heart. And when I connect to the place of beauty inside, life ultimately opens up in free and interesting and fascinating ways. So for me, I think my definition of passion would be listening to your truest heart's calling and then letting the song of your heart or the song of your life come into all its fullest manifestation.
Wow. It sounds like music, like poetry, just a flow. So looking at your bio, hearing it, it is clear that you have a lot of passions, and it sounds like right now one of your biggest passions is yoga. So what are your top passions, and how are you expressing them in the world?
Well, like you mentioned, one of them is this really ancient and beautiful art form, the practice of yoga. And specifically through yoga, what my passion really is helping people heal. And so often, you know, most of my clients are people who have injuries or something going on in their life, and they've went to all different doctors, and they go to all different people trying to help them get free of pain, and nothing really works. And there's this advanced science, which is actually quite simple. It's almost an oxymoron of biomechanics that I use to help people connect to their optimal blueprint and start to find deep healing. And for me, that's my deepest passion right now, is just helping people feel good in their bodies and in their lives, and just support people on their journey to celebrate life each day. So I would say that's one of my biggest passions. And in addition, I'm really into traveling. I'm sure like so many people who have been on your show, but spending a few years in the Peace Corps and many years also living in Africa and Southeast Asia and doing various service projects, I guess service would be another one of my passions. And that really comes from just this deep wanting to offer my love for all the blessings that I've always received throughout my life.
That's really clear that you're living on serving a life to support others. And it's fascinating to look at your background. Certainly you've got such a myriad of life experiences and skills, and they're showing up in this way around Steadfast Freedom Yoga. And I'm curious as to how they showed up that way. What was there, an event, or had you people around you? How did you come into yoga being the place where you're showing up with your passions at this point?
Well, coming from a corporate background, it was my time while I was working for a large consulting company and sort of working 80 to 100 hours a week. And interestingly enough, I was contracted to work for the Department of Defense. And I think that was sort of a way that the firm decided that they would test my willingness to do whatever it took to sort of climb the corporate ladder. And I was really actually having a blast in corporate America and just treating that like a big party, sort of like everything else I do in my life. And it was actually going really, really well. And the thing was, I would wake up every morning and I would do my yoga practice. And at the end of the practice, I would always say to myself, is putting on a suit and tie and going to the Department of Defense, is that my true dharma? Is that my true duty in life? Or am I actually like shortchanging in a way myself and the world by not serving in what my highest calling is? So it was just that questioning back and forth that finally led me to say, you know what, I don't actually want to work during a time of war. Instead, I think I'm going to join the Peace Corps. And so it was, you know, that big leap of saying, you know, goodbye corporate America, hello to the world, which I had done, you know, I had said hello to the world for many years and then went to corporate America and decided to make the transition back to the School of Life and head into the Peace Corps. And while I was in Peace Corps, I ended up teaching so much yoga both to other Peace Corps volunteers and even people in the village where I lived, and it was just a natural progression to come back and continue to teach that full time. And what better city to do it than New York City?
Now, yeah.
So the other big passion I just want to mention in a way is really spending time with my family. It's interesting because the reason that I'm actually living in New York is because I'm so blessed to have my parents and my brother and sister-in-law, my niece and nephew and aunts and uncles and my grandparents still around and everyone in New York. So it just seemed right to me to be surrounded by the love of my own personal community, my family, and that's really where I like to dedicate a lot of my time these days when I can.
Right on. And I imagine that helps fill the well, too, as you go out and serve, that you've got a really nice support system. In fact, that's one of the questions I ask passioneers is your cheerleading squad, your support network. So what would you say along those lines of your folks that are your biggest cheerleaders and how they're supporting you?
Without a doubt, my mom and my dad are, and my brother and sister-in-law, my little one-year-old niece and nephew, they're definitely my biggest fans for sure. And, especially my brother actually was really instrumental for so many years when I was sort of living, you know, either in, you know, Uganda or Ghana or over in Peru, just telling my parents, you know, like, it's okay, he'll do fine, everything will work out. Don't worry that he just left his very, you know, high-paying socialite corporate job to go live in third-world countries. It'll all work out. So, you know, my whole family has always been very supportive. And then in addition to that, just so many of my fellow yoga teachers and even all my clients, it's interesting enough, it's usually my students that often leave me the most inspired sharing what they're doing. And so many of them in their own right, even though they come to class as my students, they teach me so much. And that learning really inspires me and keeps my fire burning super bright.
Now, for a lot of folks that are making the leap into what they love, especially if they're going into service and serving others in the world, and are feeling scared or discouraged, might be kind of wondering how to go about establishing a support network. It sounds like it's been pretty natural and easy for you, or maybe not. What would be some tips that you would give to people to build their own network as they're going and going on this journey, this leap into what they love?
I think the first thing that they have to do is just be open and spacious to the realization that whatever they really desire in their life, like whatever we desire, we can create. And the way to create a support network is actually just to step back and listen, be soft and be sensitive, and just open your eyes to every single opportunity that's around you, because you never know how someone is going to affect your life. You know, interestingly enough, one of my students actually in class, who's been doing yoga just for a few months, and I've been supporting him because I think he's doing such a great job, you know, moving out of his comfort zone and stepping into something new like yoga. You know, he came up to me at the end of class and he said, "Just so you know, I'm the producer of this really huge television show, and I'd like to have you as a guest," you know? So it's just the things like that, just by being in tune, you know? And I had no idea what the guy did. I just knew that he was really sweet, and I just wanted to serve him like I do all my students. So you just have to be open and receptive and soft and sensitive to feel the opportunities all around you, because they present themselves, you know, even in it, like when I get in the cab, I even like to see what, like, the cab drivers are up to in New York City or where they're from. And that's how most of my journeys around the world, like I'll meet a cab driver in New York who's from Ghana, you know, and end up in Africa the next thing I know, like visiting his family, you know. So you just never know what opportunities are going to be right in front of your eyes.
I love what I'm hearing in what you're saying. It sounds like there's a flexibility and a receptivity in what's next. And I'm wondering, a question that comes to mind is, I hear a lot about planning, having a plan, knowing where you're going, being goal-oriented, and all of that's important. And I also hear in what you're saying is that there's an openness and flexibility to what's next. So how do you reconcile those two elements?
Well, it's the exact name of my company, you know, is Steadfast Freedom Yoga. So there's a time where it's for that exact dichotomy, that in order to really step into the flow of nature and to step into your highest calling and your passion, first you have to be steady. You have to be dedicated to whatever it is that you want. And when I was much younger, like in my early teens and my mid-teens, I had so many passions that I was just all over the map. You know, I just wanted to, like, love the whole world and, like, heal the world, and that was, you know, always my vision. And then little by little, I started to refine and refine and refine and really stick to one or two things, like be steadfast with my dedication to my practices and to my yoga and to whatever I wanted to build, but from that steadfastness, also be totally open to just take the path of whatever like wind blows your way, which is, you know, a perfect segue. Just to give you an example, I was just in meetings the past few weeks and approached by a few retired executives in New York City who wanted to start this brilliant idea, a yoga retreat company that does yoga retreats on high-end sailing luxury yachts in the Caribbean. And I had my whole schedule planned for January and February and March, and they said to me, "You know what? If the wind of your, you know, the wind of your heart blows you in our direction, why don't we make this company a reality?" And before you know it, I changed my whole schedule, just flexibility, you know, I went for the freedom, and January and February and March, I'm going to be spending part of the time with, you know, this beautiful, beautiful company we created. It's called Sunara, S-U-N-A-R-A, Sunara Sail. And what I'm going to be doing is just spending time with people, helping them connect to their heart on sailboats in the Caribbean. So like a month ago, that was nowhere in the plan. As a matter of fact, I had so many other things scheduled. And now all of a sudden, that just felt right. And so I took the leap and went for it. And I'm so excited about that.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. That is an awesome, awesome example of being really just really available to what's next. And what about the fear? So I hear when I chat with passioneers budding or those that have already made the leap, and I think everybody's kind of budding because whatever's next is new and different. And there's a theme about feeling the fear and doing it anyway. What would you say about somebody who's feeling very fearful or scared, you know, and in that place of what's next? I don't know. What do I do? What do I be? What would you say?
I would say that no decision is irreversible. So if you go for it and for some reason it doesn't work out, then you always can do something else. I think too often we're like so stressed out about like, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? You know what? Give it a whirl. If it works, what a celebration. That's awesome. If it doesn't, you try something else. And the interesting thing that I found over the past few years is the more that I just listen to my intuition, the fear sort of starts to melt away. And now I just know not to fear, but just to trust. And when I trust in that innate, that it's really that innate place inside. It's like not rhyme or reason. It's nor heart nor mind. It's just that innate sense that says, go for it. It always works out, always. And you know what? Sometimes it doesn't work out as expected. I understand the fear, but the cool thing is, let's say you try something and it's like it totally bombs and doesn't work out at all. I just look at that like, oh, cool, I learned so much from that experience. Like, now I know what I don't want to do, or now I know what doesn't work. And that's just as important as knowing what really does work.
Wow. Let me ask you about you, your skills and gifts that you brought into this. Well, into this lifetime or into this particular passion, because I could play devil's advocate and say, well, Jordan, you make it sound so easy. You must be very outgoing, and you must be very gifted in communications and business stuff. What would you say have been your skills, your natural gifts that you brought into all of this, and which are the ones that you had to work at, that you maybe the hard way even?
Well, the first one, and I know my mom is listening to the call, as most of my family, I'm sure, and many friends, and they can testify, I think, that the one that I had to work on the most was patience. So, you know, I was always a bit of a perfectionist and always, you know, wanted things to get done on, you know, in my time frame. And going to third world countries where pretty much everything I did, like when I was in Peace Corps, this is actually really cool. The whole first year I was in Peru in Peace Corps, pretty much every project I did failed. And it was really interesting. Like, I would organize this – I had this great idea. Let's clean up the community and have this big clean up the community day. And I would do 4 months of environmental education and in the high school and the elementary school. And then after that, I would organize to have a day off and go clean up the whole community. And everything would be set to go, except that the guy who made ice pops in the town decided that when all the kids were off from school and cleaning up all the garbage – he would just take advantage of the time to sell all his ice pops. Well, before you know it, you have kids trying to clean up garbage with their bare hands. And the garbage, since I lived in a town that had more donkeys and horses and cows than people, the garbage is mixed with animal feces. And then they're, you know, picking up the garbage with their bare hands and eating ice pops. And before you know it, Jordan's environmental cleanup program turns into, like, diarrhea for the whole town.
Oh, no.
Tappers all over the place, you know? So oh, that one really didn't work. Okay, let's think of a new idea. And it wasn't that easy. And I'll tell you, I got to be quite honest, the thing that always kept me centered is my spiritual practice and my yoga practice, because it was days like that where I put 4 months into something and in a minute it could just not work at all, that I just had to learn to cultivate patience and really do my practice. I mean, another quick story, which is a perfect example, I set up this huge biointensive organic community garden behind my house when I was in Peru. and everything was about ready to harvest, and I was actually having some Peruvian nonprofits coming to film the garden and take some photos and things. Like 2 days later, I wake up in the middle of the night to the sound of a rushing river, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what's going on? It sounds like my house is underwater. Long story short, a farmer who has his farm above mine decided to open up the channel to water his field and then fell asleep and forgot to close it. So the next thing I know, a year of work or 6 months of work of mine was totally underwater and destroyed.
No.
Like 2 days before, I had all these people coming to take photographs and video of it. And here I am, like, and all, not only that, all the food I was going to eat. You know, I'm a vegetarian and I like to eat organic. So here's like all my sustenance for the next couple months washed away in the blink of an eye. And, you know, there were two options. I could have just totally flipped out and been all upset about it, or I could just say what they say in Sanskrit, they say swaha, like, so it was, there it goes, you know. It is what it is. And it's so funny because then I went to go talk to the farmer, and I said, you know, this is sort of a bummer, like, that was all my food. And the farmer's response to me was, su casa está mal puesta, your house, it's in a bad spot. And I was like, oh, great, thanks, you know. And I think back in the day, I wouldn't have been so friendly about it. But because of my yoga practice, I was just like, you know what, maybe you're right, my bad, sorry. You know, and you just deal with it. And so that's how I've always, you know, I've always viewed things, is you do the best you can, and when it doesn't work out, swaha, so it is. So let it be.
Oh, Jordan, I thought you were going to share that maybe he was going to give you some food or something like that. And
yeah,
you just kind of said, deal with it.
He was only growing potatoes, and at that point I'd eaten so many potatoes, you know. But that was that, you know, and it was a good lesson, too. It's like, oh, yeah, maybe my house was in a bad place. Oops, didn't think about that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, when you look at your journey and what you've been up to, especially lately, what have been some of the biggest challenges that you are or you have faced, and how are you moving through those challenges?
It's a good question. It's hard to say. I have to tell you the truth, because all the challenges I really view as opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, to be quite honest, one of my challenges right now is finding a balanced place in my life with all the expansion that's going on. So the amount of opportunities, again, just by trusting in my passion that have opened up for me in the past year and a half, it's really wild, you know, not only like business opportunities, but opportunities to teach so many great people and to teach all over the world and to do so many different things. And one of the challenges is just, you know, what do I choose, A, and B, how do I find balance in my own life? And it's what I teach all day, so it's like, wow, am I going to be able to stay balanced and still work a 16-hour day 6 or 7 days a week? I don't think so, you know? So it's to say, you know, sometimes I can't do everything, and I do have to say no to some things. And also the other thing is I'm going to have to make time to nurture myself. And that's really the way that I do it. You know, like today, in addition to this interview, I had a very big photo shoot, and I'm teaching multiple classes tonight after this. And so, you know, this morning I woke up and the first thing I did is I just sat down and I meditated, and I did a nice long meditation. Then I took a bath. Then I did my yoga practice. And, you know, although it was 2 hours in a 16-hour day that I'm working, by using those 2 hours to nurture myself, now I'm going to be able to really serve everyone in the fullest. So you have to really nurture yourself first before you can serve everyone else.
Somebody had said it's like putting your oxygen mask on before you try to help other people.
It's the perfect metaphor. I love when they do that on the airplanes. You know, it's so true.
And what I also love is, it's interesting, today is just kind of a crystallization. I was going back over the many, many interviews that I've conducted with Passioneers and their fabulous stories, and thinking about some of the synthesis of what I've heard. And today the two words that came to me really were focus and balance. That a lot of the Passioneers, almost all the Passioneers, have mentioned that focus was really key, and staying balanced is really a big part of it. And that translates into so many different self-care, well-being. So So in that spirit, when you think about folks in your life and people that have asked you about making the big leap and what other words of wisdom you might have to make that leap and to do it with focus and balance, what would you say to somebody? They're sitting right in front of you and they're belly aching even about the timing. It's, yeah, I want to wait until the moon's and the stars align and my spouse is retired or my kids are out of school. And I say it belly aching with all love in my heart because we all have something that's up that comes up when something big for us is coming forth. What words of wisdom would you have for somebody who's feeling in that space of, gosh, you know, how do I do this? When do I do it?
Yeah. I would say take a couple deep breaths. Don't worry about it. Stop stressing so much. You know, and then I would say, and after you take a couple deep breaths, then realize that, you know what? Life is short. Sure, you can wait till tomorrow. You can wait till next week. You can wait till next year. But you know what? I want to celebrate this very day. Like this moment right now, this conversation, I put so much value on this. Like this very second, every minute of every day, I want to celebrate. I'm not going to wait until like tomorrow or next week or next year. I'm going to do it now. And I would say to people who are worried about it and a little bit stressed about it, just like, don't worry, take a few breaths and then do the thing, you know, do it, go for it. And like I said, no decision is irreversible. If it doesn't work out, you can turn around and do something else. I think people get so stressed out about things that it's not worth really stressing about. Like, either it's going to work out or it's not. And if it doesn't work out, then you learn something from it and you apply that lesson to things going forward in the future. But I'm not a fan of really, you know, necessarily sitting around and waiting for things to happen. I like to help make things happen. In the same, there has to be a balance to that as well. So you do have to wait till the opportunity is right sometimes, but don't let the opportunity pass you by. That's the thing.
Well, I just want to give our callers on the lines a chance. If you have any questions or you want to come on and have any kind of question or observation or comment that you want to share, press 1 on your phone and we'll pick you up and get you on the line and share what you would like to share with us. And so, Jordan, what do you have? What's next? How do you plan? If you look at life that way, some people don't. The question really is, what's your next big milestone? And if you think about life in milestones or what's next, what would you say is around the corner for you?
I'll tell you the truth. What's around the corner for me is a nice, full, fun day of teaching tomorrow. Then Friday evening, I'm hosting this really super fun event in New York City. It's called Yoga and Wine, a Divine Pair. So that's a blast where I pair, you know, we do a nice yoga practice, and then I have a sommelier. His name is Owen Kotler. He's really fantastic. He comes in, and we taste all biodynamic and organic wines. And then Saturday morning, I'm hosting a huge fundraiser at the Equinox Club in Tribeca it's a big yoga class fundraiser for building a school in Peru. You know, so for me, around the corner right now means, like, you know what I'm doing between now and Saturday? You know, I got my plate is pretty full between now and Saturday. But, you know, over the long range, I think I'm just going to continue to listen to my heart and just keep singing songs of freedom and trusting my intuition and doing my best to serve in this world. And in Sanskrit, the word is dharma, you know, your true duty. Mm-hmm. And whatever my duty is, I just want to do that. I don't want to do anyone else's duty. I don't want to do, you know, anything that's not my highest calling. So as far as, you know, looking to the future, to what I'm going to create, it's all happening. You know, the future is right now. And so each day as it unfolds, I just ride the waves of life and try and surf them as skillfully as possible and let everything unfold as it should.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I was thinking about the relationship, asking you about the relationship between dharma and, not even between, the relationship of dharma and passions. For a lot of folks, the idea of purpose, why we're here, giving back, are kind of synonymous. What would you say the relationship between giving back, serving others, and dharma is?
Well, the interesting thing is giving back and serving others may not be someone's dharma. You never know what someone's particular duty is, and each person has their particular thing. And I think if you are living your passion, though, and you do decide to pursue your passion in whatever form it is, then you are doing what your truest duty is. And the main thing, one of the brilliant yoga teachings is it's better to do your dharma, your duty well than someone else's, or it's better to do your duty, poorly than someone else's duty well. Mm-hmm. In other words, do what you're supposed to do. And if your dharma is, being a corporate consultant, then you'll serve so many in that capacity. If your dharma is to, run sailboat charters and take people on the vacation of their lifetimes to the Caribbean, then that's your duty. Maybe it's to be a school teacher. Maybe it's just to be like a good mom or dad. Maybe it's just to be sweet and kind to other people in the world. And it's interesting. I have so many people that come to yoga class and they say things like, "Oh, I'm no good at yoga, or, I'm just a beginner." And what I often find is it's those people that are actually the most advanced. Because it's true, being good at yoga, yeah. I don't care if you could put your legs behind your head and balance on your hands and do all sorts of circus tricks. That has really not that much value. But can you just be a good person in the world? Can you be sweet to other people? Can you, spend a little of your time in service, maybe serving someone a meal, or, it sounds so trite, but even helping someone across the street or carry some groceries or just the simple, simple things in life. That's what makes you good at yoga, Can you just be like a loving person? That's what I think it all boils down to. And you know what? If you are, then your passion, then everything else will fall into place. I truly believe that. Be a good person in the world and everything will line up.
It sounds so, so simple. Maybe not easy for some folks, but it certainly sounds simple and very clear and transparent, getting ourselves out of the way. I love how the simplicity of it means that we don't have to think about it, analyze it, plan for it, that we can every day be in that space of it sounds like just really connection. It sounds like connection.
Yeah, it's interesting because the style of yoga that I practice and teach and that I'm certified in, it's called Anusara. And Anusara, it means step into the current, step into the waves of your heart. So ride the waves of life with grace. And I truly believe when you step into the current, then you'll always find the path to freedom.
Oh, I sure wish I was in New York City. I would live there for a while, and I would be able to come and join you for what sounds like a fabulous event you got going on. Well, several of them this week, and
thanks.
I'm so grateful that that your passion is showing up so fabulously as what you're up to. Thank you so much, Jordan. If people wanted to get in touch with you, find out more about where you're headed, what you got going, your yoga, where would you send them?
Just the best way would be my website, which is steadfastfreedomyoga.com. Also, just my name, Jordan Malla, JordanMallah.com. Either one of those will take you to me. And even just my email is Jordan@steadfastfreedomyoga. And I'm always happy to answer people's questions or serve any way and I can. If I get funny sort of emails and questions all the time, and I'm always happy to answer those. Like I got one the other day. I used to have really long hair. I just cut my hair recently.
Uh-huh.
I got an email question. "Hi, I'm from such and such a country. I was wondering, do you have to have long hair to teach yoga?" That was a great one. I love that one. So I sent him my new headshot. I'm like, "Please see my new headshot. As you can see, I cut my hair. Don't have to have long hair to teach yoga. But thanks for asking."
Oh, wow. And you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to get back. It sounds like you've got a very, very connected personal touch too as well. So, and that's what I really, really noticed the most in our connections, from brief as though they've been, that there's just so much that you've got to let out, and you're letting out and expressing, and you're doing it in such a human, connected way, personal, Jordan's way. So I'm really grateful for that. And thank you so much. I am really looking forward. What I love to do with Passioneers is check back with them periodically, see what's next, see what's so, see where they're headed, and just get the word out that you certainly can experience and express passions, in this case, in the way of it's really mind, body, and spirit, and do it in a way that's balanced and focused. So, Jordan, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like folks to know about your particular journey or anything you'd like to leave them with about their journey as we close?
Well, first, I just wanted to thank you, and I know I've stressed this before and on our personal conversations besides this interview, but I think what you're doing is absolutely brilliant, and I love how you stepped into your passion and how you are offering so many wonderful things to the world through bringing all these people together. So I just wanted to say, I mean, that's such amazing work that you're doing, and your light is so bright as well. And it's an honor to have a conversation with someone who is pursuing their passion in the way that you are and then bringing it to so many people. So I wanted to say
thank you
so much. And just to all the listeners and all my students and everyone out there, just basically to know to trust that it's all going to work out. It's going to be okay. You know, if you just trust your heart and you connect to the place of light inside, you will ultimately find a deep amount of freedom. So you just have to be patient, trust, and everything will work out in the most sweet and highest ways. And you know, when it doesn't, you just breathe through it and more opportunities will come. So the universe is infinitely expanding, gracious, and generous. So just be open to receive all the beauty that she has to offer.
I love that. And that's a very different way than a lot of folks might believe or that we're told to believe, that the universe is really on our side. More than on our side, it is really just lifting us to what we're here to do and be. So thank you for being a representative, for repping the universe today, this evening, and for all that you're up to. And we will definitely hook up with you, Jordan, down the line. I'd like to say within 4 to 6 months to see what's new. And anything that comes up that you want to share, please do let me know, let us know. And, of course, if you or anybody you know has passioneers in their life that are living large, being large, especially in service to others, please send their contact information our way, and we'll get them hooked into the Passioneer Project.
I most certainly will. I offer you my love and my gratitude. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and enjoy your classes this evening.
Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Good night.
Okay, be well. Good night. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Sue Oliver, your Passions and Possibilities hostess for the Passions and Possibilities program, brought to you by Power Leaps LLC, and through this radio show and coaching services, I am so honored to be able to support individuals and groups in taking the next big leap into their passions, personally and professionally. And so I offer individual telecoaching and group telecoaching for the bold and talented who want to take that next big leap. Try out coaching if you think you know what it is. That's cool. If you want to express and try some new coaching techniques, try it out. Whatever you may be wanting to create in your life, coaching can be a way to be held accountable and to also become more and more aware of how you might get in the way of your dreams and why you're here. So I totally know that whatever you're up to, that you can come away with some practices to move forward in your dreams, regardless of what's going on in the economy, your situation. And you can check me out at powerleaps.com. That's www.powerleaps.com. And also, I invite you to check out our new Passions and Possibilities website, where we are capturing these stories of these phenomenal passioneers. That's www.passionsandpossibilities. If you type in Passions and Possibilities into Google, you'll see the beautiful stories. They'll just come up right in front of you. And as I mentioned, if you know of any passioneers who are living large and want to share their story, please send them along their contact information, and we'll include them, try to get them on our show and definitely in our materials. So thanks to all of our listeners live and those in archive. Thank you for tuning in to this radio program, the Passions and Possibilities Project. Thanks so much to Jordan Maloff for sharing his fabulous story of being in service through Steadfast Freedom Yoga, and from really his background in so many different things, taking his skills and talents and passions and serving them up so beautifully in the world. And we will be broadcasting on Friday, as we do every Friday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we do on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. And we would love to get any ideas or suggestions or questions you might have around passioneering sent our way, and we will include them in future shows. Thanks again, and until our next show, goodbye and happy passioneering.